What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny Podcast, episode 100. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hey, Greg. Congratulations on 100 episodes of a podcast, man. We finally figured it out.
You know, it turned out that all people wanted from us was us just to talk about like dicks and stuff. You know what I mean? They don't want topics. They don't want to overtake it. They just want to see what happens when you take four psychos and lock them in their individual rooms. Ain't that right, Andy? Bite something.
Don't put me in the same category as you.
You're a psycho too, Andy.
Since Andy's a coward and won't bite anything. Oh, there he goes.
What is that? A box of pills? He's crazy.
This kid, speaking of which, I didn't take my vitamin D. Hold on.
Oh, what, did you just break that thing? Your man strength? They're not supposed to sell like that when you open it, Greg.
That looks like a dog treat.
Greg just twists it and half the bottle comes apart. Psychopath.
Greg, I just took my vitamin D too. Thanks for the reminder.
Is yours chewable too, Kev?
No, it's a little liquid gel.
I eat my Hims vitamins at night like they're dessert. I call them dessert vitamins.
Yeah?
God, of course.
I want you to know today I was in the kitchen and I was making some yogurt for breakfast and I started laughing from in review when you guys called my piece of cake yesterday breakfast dessert because I already had a meal but then I had a treat afterwards.
It was just you justifying it. It's like, wait, is that your breakfast? And I already had breakfast. Oh, okay, so this is fine. Breakfast dessert.
God damn it. That reminds me of the time at VidCon where Greg got me so hyped for breakfast pizza. He was like, dude, we're gonna get breakfast pizza. And Tim, I was like, oh my god, they're gonna put pizza with like eggs. Andy, if I said breakfast pizza, what would you think? Eggs,
yeah, bacon, it would be like, yeah, like cheese, chorizo, no. Yeah, like some shit like that. Yeah,
we get there and we just go to a Sbarro and it's just pizza.
Wait,
and I was like, Greg, I thought it was breakfast pizza. He goes, no, you misunderstood. It's pizza for breakfast. Like,
but Nick, eventually we went to an airport that had breakfast pizza with an egg on it and it was delicious.
Did we really?
Yeah,
oh, that does sound good. I love it.
Square Pie Guys, they got a whole bunch of fall pizza, or I guess winter pizzas now that have eggs on top. Like they have like a, you know, the egg you cut through the yolk and then it just bleeds all over. It's delicious.
They ever going to bring back the corn pizza?
The elote? Yeah, I'm sure they'll bring it back. They took the buffalo chicken pizza off the menu for a
while.
Get
the fuck out. Wow.
The maniacs.
Yeah. I haven't gone back since. You know what I mean? I'm man who votes with my wallet. You take that away. And the kind of funny pickle pizza. I'm not going to be showing up there for a while. You got to eat.
That buffalo pizza is serious business, though. I think I took two of those right to the face, and it threw me out of the whack for the rest of the day. I was gone.
No, the key to Square Pie Guys.
Come on, guys. Two to the face, huh? We're fine with that.
There's the slices, right? The pizza comes in four slices. They need to be an eight. Mm-hmm. You need to divide those slices in half.
Yeah, or else really it's just way too much. They're big.
The thing that kind of does bother me, Tim, and I agree with you, is that, like, yes, it's the portion control that kind of throws me off. But the one time that I really found myself enjoying Square Pie Guys was we had just left the theater and watched Rise of Skywalker. And we stopped by and got the lunch portion. Right. And they give you just the two pieces instead of the four. Because here's the thing. I get the four. The problem is I'm still going to eat all of them and feel like shit.
Yeah.
But I'd rather just eat the two and then be totally fine and be like, all right, pizza's gone, right? But if there's four... The thing about Square Pie Guys, they don't reheat well. We've talked about this several times. They're not the best when you put them back in the oven. I mean, they're not awful, but they're best eaten when they are fresh. And I'm going to take advantage of the time, right? But I'm going to fuck up my body for at least like 3 days.
Kevin, I just put into Slack and assets for you a new challenger on the old pan pizza thing. Have you seen this yet? Sunset Square? Pizza.
Lucy told me about this. We were playing Overwatch the other day and I got very jealous. And then when she told me about this, I then ordered Square Pie Guys. It came with four pieces. I was like, I guess I got to eat all these four pieces right now.
So yeah, that's how they get you. Sunset Square is a new challenger here in the Square Pie Pizza in San Francisco. And they're doing it more, this is going to stick with me, Chicago style. And what I mean by that is they have like the cracker thin, like party pizzas that you would get. Mm-hmm. I would get on like a normal Friday. Yeah. But then they also have like the deep dish, but then they also have just pan pizzas in the square format. And their crust, it's not showing well here, obviously, but is a thinner. It's like, it's still like the Square Pie Guys square pizza, but it's a thinner one. And I feel it's a more pillowy, like a little bit lighter. I ate my normal two pieces, and then I was like, you know what? I can do a third.
Here's what I disagree with, though, in this. Like, all this looks great, and absolutely, you put this in front of me, two or three to the face in a second. But they have a pan pizza that is circular in nature that they're cutting into squares. And I just vehemently disagree with
that. That's what I'm talking about. That's the party pizza. In Chicago, if you were like, I'm going to get a pizza on a Friday night, this is the kind of pizza you'd expect to come to you.
That means there's at least
two people in Chicago. Who's eating those middle two slices?
Who gets those psychopaths like,
I'm not going to have a crust?
For the fucking record, when I was growing up there in the great Chicagoland area, when I'd get a Rosati's, when I'd get a Baroni's, the middle pieces, the best pieces. They're nice. There's they're salty. The sauce is there. They're delicious. The cheese is good.
Are you just naming family gangs in like The Godfather?
I'm pretty sure two of those were characters from Batman. I'm pretty sure.
The Rosati's and the Baroni's are fighting again.
That's how it should look. You know what I mean?
That middle piece, like that's effort.
I will say this. Sick to my fucking stomach to think about being a dumb kid in Chicago taking this for granted. I would go to Baroni's and I would say, "Can you cut it in fucking slices?" Because I wanted to eat like a Ninja Turtle. Well, who's laughing now, Baroni's? Not me. I want my pizza to look like this again.
When I was young, Greg, I was obsessed with Thomas the Tank Engine.
Who was it?
And Ringo Starr, the Beatle. Was the conductor in that show for a while. And during that time in the early 90s, he also was the spokesperson for some Pizza Hut. Yeah. And his whole thing was crust first. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When I was little, I was obsessed with eating crust first because the fucking conductor told me to. I had to do it. When Ringo Starr tells you to do something, you do it.
Man, he really fell off after the Beatles.
Stupid as shit.
I'll tell you one thing right now. The crust, everyone knows, is the handle of the pizza. Okay. The crust is also the handle of the sandwich. It's designed that way. So you have something to hold on to while you're noshing on the rest of the thing. And then guess what, Kevin? It's a treat. You thought the present was undone. You unbox the present. You took your toy out of it. There's something else at the bottom of it waiting for you. What is it? It's crust, and you can dip it in ranch.
I've always been so disappointed whenever I order. I believe it's Domino's who does that. Square cut. They give you the option, right? They have the regular pie cut and they do the square cut. I fucking hate the square cut, dude, because the middle pieces are the ones that are always left over, and they're like the size of a fucking post-it note. It just sucks, dude. It's just not a good vibe.
Impossible to eat if you have those middle pieces. Where do you start? How do you pick them up? What are you gonna do? It's all just the soggy part of the pizza.
What are you gonna do?
Grease everywhere.
What are you going to do, Nick? You know,
What are you going to do? Oh, pizza is so bad right now.
Here's the thing. As we all know, everybody, if you direct your attention towards my screen.
Thank you, Andy.
As you all know, and this is for, so audio listeners, I apologize. You don't know what's happening, but that wouldn't be the first time on this podcast. Because as you know,
Reddit threads right now.
We did
We have pizza in England. Right, I'm going to start one right now. Reddit.com, kind of funny. Hold on.
Nick thinks the Reddit post is going to be about pizza in England.
I was like, Andy's drawing a piece of pizza, and I was drawing the parallel that they can't visualize what a piece of pizza looks like.
We do kebab. We don't do pizza after hours. You guys are crazy in the States.
I don't understand that accent.
Dude, they were good as fuck. Kebabs, the kebab culture in the after hours, like after the bars close or whatever, it's so special. And I don't know if that's because we don't have it here and it was like a cool, it's like one off thing for us, but fuck, we devastate. There's pictures on my Instagram of me just like the happiest I've ever been, slightly drunk, taking a euro to the face.
Look, here's the thing. We all know that this is the way you eat fucking pizza. Okay, here's what you do. Here's what you do. And if anybody wants to steal these ideas, by all means, do what you got to do. What you got to do is you take a bite of the pizza, right? You take a bite. Mm-hmm. Take a little bite of the crust, Kevin.
No. Whoa! No. What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
A little bit of the corner. Okay. You take another bite, take a little bite of the crust.
What are you doing?
And then you keep on going like that.
Why?
To the point where all the only crust that's left is like a kind of like this area. And this area is the best part because it's got really good crispy area with some sauce and some cheese, and it's like you're dipping a breadstick with the marinara sauce, and you just fucking gobble that shit up,
Andy,
dude.
You've lost the chat.
So good, dude.
Andy, can you undo that real quick to the point where you got the full pizza again?
Yeah, sure thing. Okay. I mean, look, people say lots of chat, but look, the pepperoni diplomacy act wasn't always a popular thing. When I brought that into state legislation, then people, you know, started agreeing with it. You know,
Here's what I'm gonna say. Can you just delete the bottom, like, I don't know, 7/8 of the red, and just leave a little thin line of red around the crust?
Yeah,
what? Look at that big brush. Nick's right there. Big brush.
You want to have like about 3/4 inch even around following the crust, sort of as around,
because that right there, it means every bite gets you crust.
Mm-hmm. And it gets you sauce and
pepperoni.
That's how you want to handle it.
There you go.
Got it.
See, that's begging for a little dollop of Hidden Valley Ranch on your plate. Ooh. Still, that nobody knew we had, and you just dip it. There you go. It's not really calories if it came out of a bottle,
guys.
Leave it up right there, right, Andy? Just so people understand, because I'm not sure if they've ever seen a crust on a pizza. This is a very helpful visual. I'm glad you've left it up there. I want to tell you all a story.
Can you put some Parmesan on that crust?
I know. Oh, there's some ranch on it.
Some ranch.
Nah, you dip it in, you get a lot more ranch than that. A lot more ranch than
like
that.
Like that, Kev?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you double it up. You're going to take twice as a bite. It's going to be a mouthful.
Okay.
What I want to do is tell you a little story here that I know at least Nick and Andy can commiserate with. Tim and Kevin, I'm not sure their opinions. But I know for a fact that Nick, Andy, and myself hold Elise Willems in the highest regard.
Of course.
We think she's amazing. She walks on water. Tim and Kevin, I'm not saying they don't think that.
I just want to say I respect her so much. She's fantastic. Her husband, not so much, but that's a conversation.
You know what I mean? But no, for a long time ago, Elise Willems tweeted about pizza bones. Called crust pizza bones. I was complaining, I think, that Jen was it was early in our marriage or something, or years ago, she was throwing away crust and I was appalled. And Elise was like, "That's more pizza bones for you, Greg." And I thought it was the funniest thing. And I started calling pizza bones, right? You know what I mean? That's just a funny thing. That's just a funny way to do it. And I loved it so much. And I had to go back into my many different conversations on many different platforms with Elise Willems here. But I eventually found from this year, September, I sent her a story from one of our other friends and mentioned, look at them wasting pizza bones, to which Elise Willems were, and like, keep in mind, me and Elise, we're friends. You know what I mean? We have a professional respect, but we're not like close. It's like me.
Yeah, she thinks you hate her. Yeah,
that thing where, of course. And I like that power. But this was going to be one of those things where I was able to throw it out there of like, look, we're cool. We have an inside joke. Do you remember pizza bones, right? So I sent her this, our friend's story, look at these wasteful pizza bones. And she responds, "What's pizza bones?" Now, if you want to talk about the panic I had of like, oh my God, did I totally miss a sign? Because like, for me, for her to chime in ages ago with pizza bones, I thought it would be like, me making a comment about Best Friends or Portillo's or something that like, you know, is like, oh, I thought pizza bones is like a thing for her. I thought she called the crust pizza bones and it was like a real thing for her. She responds, "What's pizza bones?" And I go, "No idea, but you're the first person I ever heard call them that. And I think of you every time I use it / say it." She responds in all caps, "Did I say that?"
Oh my God.
I don't even remember it. I'm an absolute weirdo. To which then me being more weird went and found the tweet from 2018.
That's 2018. Right. That's really weird.
Insane. That's not necessary.
I sent it to her and said, "That's hilarious." And she never responded after I called her. She clearly has people at Rooster Teeth ghostwriting her tweets, and I'm not about that life.
Just so you know, when you go that far back in a tweet, someone thinks you're a little too serious than you probably are at that. But also, this is the power of Elise, is that she came up with that off the cuff, and that's genius. Because if I said, like, Tim knows me. If I said pizza bones, Tim would be like, "Nick, where'd you get that from? Where the fuck did you, what 80s movie was that popularized in that it stuck around your stupid noodle for 27 years or 40 years, whatever?"
Yeah, but Nick, you say two hole.
He does. Make a two-hole shirt.
Good. I do.
Can we not? Andy, can we please not do that?
Don't need to do a whole shirt.
Oh, do a shirt. I didn't hear what Greg said.
Oh, God. That's so...
something I said. What's two-hole?
What's two-hole? It's pretty self-explanatory.
It's where you go two.
It's when number two comes out.
Well, that other voice you hear is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
What a journey it's been, 2020, huh?
Yeah, I know, 100 episodes of this show all in 1 year. It's crazy.
Crazy.
They're wrapping out the quartet. We're 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one, at Tim Geddes.
You're going to need one more clarifier here to my name, Greg.
Yeah. Miller. Okay. Well, shit. What's happening?
Published author, Tim Geddes. In a book. I wrote some things and I'm in a book now.
My
name's not on the title, but.
Laura Kate Dale's name.
My name's right there. You see that?
Wow.
And I wrote these words.
Tim, it's in a book. It's flipped so they don't see it. You don't even wait.
I can see it right on my end. That's all that matters. I see your name.
Yeah.
Show it again. Hold on. Bam, Tim Geddes. Bam. Oh, look, there's a drawing of you.
Yeah.
Oh, there's me.
I wrote that many words about Crash Bandicoot's butt.
It's a lot. Nice
one, you know? Wow. This is a book by Laura Kate Dale and friends. You guys can buy it, I think, in February. And Greg's in it too.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have
my copy? I think she was sending my copy to you.
I do have a copy. I do.
I'd like that.
But real quick, not to go on about this too long, I guess I now share.
We're published
with Elise Willems. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's also a published author, so sure. I do respect her because now we are one in the same. But so I also brought this up on a different show, but it's official. Not only am I a published author, Moose is now.
Oh, you got it.
The subject of a children's book, and it is the best thing in the entire world. Look, Greg. Moose got captured by pirates. How's he gonna get out of this one?
Darn Moose.
Wait, were you not on the podcast when we talked about this, Greg?
No, it was Internet Explorers.
Oh yeah. This is Greg, the coolest thing ever.
You want to see something even cooler?
Yeah. Wow, where's Moose?
Yeah. Moose has been chased out of town by the paparazzi and needs your help.
That's a pop gun.
You go to your dog and they put him in books.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's awesome.
It's the coolest thing ever. Anyways, very
cool. Really amazing. I wrote a Portillo's manuscript for a children's book, and I was like, if you somehow you saved it,
that would have been so funny.
Telling me, hey, give me yours when it's published too. I'm like, Tim, some fucking.
If you had pulled up The Adventures of Portillo the Dog by Tim Geddes, I would fucking. I would have been like, Greg, you just got owned forever. Ever.
That would have been like Nick's favorite moment of 2020.
I would have been so, it would have been a range of emotions. Cause first off, I'd be like, how did I not think of this? And secondly, I'm like, I'm so proud and jealous and envious of the fucking heat that Tim has right now from this amazing prank. Like, it would have been so good.
It would have been Nutter Butter's 2020.
I was gonna say, you're still riding high on Nutter Butter Gate. Yeah.
That's one for the record books right there.
I mean, obviously, I see the flabbergasted GIF used quite a bit from Corey Cudney, and I see that shit thrown in my face. Oh, speaking of which, everybody, can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen,
he's whispering.
I'm so fucking proud of you, Kind of Funny Pod. And like, this is we're at the finish line. We're not there. No, to my knowledge, no one has ruined for Gary that we made him milk mommy Oreos and sent him. They're supposed to arrive today. Let me check the tracking. Actually, now that I forgot that this is happened, this was gonna happen. Hold on,
you gotta call him. You gotta call him if you got him. I want to hear his reactions live.
Wait, we only did that episode last week.
No. They take a while to process. Oh. So it was like I got the shipping notification the other day, and it was one of those things of like, oh, I totally fucking forgot we did that.
And he is recording XCast right now. I can see him in the other Discord channel. Sure,
let's all go over there.
You talk loudly, he'll hear you.
Don't let him hear in the other wall. I got to jump through a million things. I'm going to FedEx's now.
Okay.
What a world.
I got an awesome package today that is under embargo. I can't wait to talk about it in a couple days, everybody. Tease.
I'm excited. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Big
but I like
tease,
it.
Everybody.
Can't tell you.
I think you're allowed to hint at it, though.
No, I'm definitely not, Greg. I was when we were talking about Tim's Tim's custom book, and Tim was like, "Isn't that gonna be cool? Like, my kids are gonna grow up reading books about their dog Portillo or their dog Moose." And I was like, Yeah, but Tim, like, maybe don't show them that from the onset, because they're just going to think that every book is going to be about their own dog. Like, sure. You got to kind of, like, you got to set the example of, like, there are other books. This is just something special. Because your kid's going to open a Clifford and be like, "Why? Where's my big red dog?
Who the fuck's Clifford?"
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very good point, Andy.
You just buy a giant dog, name him Clifford, and then all those books are about him. That's so cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Right, hold on. This is weird.
Buy him a bear and a family of bears, Berenstain Bears.
Because, Tim, you know that Gia at some point is going to be like, Moose needs a friend, and you're going to have to get another dog in there. And it's going to have to be another Pomeranian, and it's going to have to be Clifford. That's going to have to be
it.
It's got to be a black one. You got to get full black pom, full white pom. Domino.
Oh, Domino.
All right, everybody be chill. Everybody in the chat, be cool.
Be cool.
I don't know if it's going to get there today. So you have to hold out longer, Chad. I shouldn't have said this. I put it back on your brain. We have to watch Gary's social media. Don't tease him that something's coming. Don't say anything about it. Just let it happen. Because right now it still says scheduled for delivery by the end of today. However, the last update I have from FedEx is Tuesday, that it left a Connecticut facility. So that theoretically could still be out, but we usually have it out for delivery by now.
Here's the thing. We will see the tweets. We will be tagged.
What the fuck are these cookies all about, eh?
I mean, we will be tagged in the tweets that sort of hint towards Gary. I have people all over the internet scouring the internet for searching for different terms, searching for misspelled terms as well, Greg, in case people are trying to using bad spelling to kind of throw us off the scent or whatever. Yeah. People are watching these keywords and these hashtags. So if you fucking hint at Gary,
don't do it. Don't try to be. Don't try to be
excommunicated from this whole fucking thing, dude. You're out.
We know people at Twitter. We can remove your Twitter.
Out. Mm-hmm. But you can't get me at Andy Cortez.
Well, that's because that guy still lives, remember?
Can't get me verified in there.
Oh, we haven't tried.
Yeah, that one.
Just the honest truth of Nick.
I don't think we tried on that
one. I haven't tried. No plan on it.
Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny Podcast, our 100th episode. If you didn't know, each and every week, usually four best friends gather on these microphones, each coming to fuck around with each other and have a good time. If you like that, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can be part of the show with your questions, your comments, your concerns. You could, of course, get the show ad-free. You could get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every week. You could get it with the gold topic we're filming after this. And, of course, you could be watching live, just like J6, Demetrius Newell. Hey, Demetrius. Jacob and Ash R. Of course, if you don't want to give us any bucks, no big deal. You can catch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe each and every week. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jared Dessert, Cypress Bill, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, DJ Kento, Steve Powers, Kieran O'Donnell, and Alexander Noxel. Today we're brought to you by Upstart Honey, ExpressVPN, and Hims. Wait, that sounds like I screwed something up. That sounds like too many people.
While you're looking at that, can I tell you?
Yeah, what do you got?
Delete someone. Can I tell you my pizza story?
ExpressVPN and Hims are the sponsors today. Nice try, honey. Get out of here. Get out of here. You didn't give us any money. Nick, what do you got?
We were packing up some stuff the other day, and pizza got ordered. Nice. Kevin was like, we were at the studio packing up some shit. Kevin was like, are we going to order pizza? And I was like, fuck yeah, Kevin, let's order some pizza. So he came in clutch with two large round table pizzas, both with extra sauce. We have to have
it. You have to have the extra sauce.
He got the sausage and peppers pizza, which I usually don't want, but I was like, I'll take a slice of that. And there was four pieces of pepperoni left over. And I was like, Kev, do you want these? And Kev's actually like, he's like, I don't like pepperoni that much. You can take them home. And I had already eaten four pieces, but I'm like, it's just early enough that I can justify those having been lunch pizza. So I can take these four pieces home of perfectly saucy, the right temperature, kind of dry it out, Andy. Like, they're not moist anymore, but you like it because there's extra sauce on it. So by the time you get in there, like, this is fucking perfect. And the pep's still crispy and salty. I get it home, and there's a box from my brother he sent me for Christmas, that the company sent me, of just a big-ass box of See's candy. And I'm like, and I turn the TV on, and Christmas Vacation's playing. And I'm like, this is the greatest night ever. This is living the greatest life, Nick. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute, do I have ranch in the fridge? And I opened it up and I had just enough Hidden Valley Ranch left. And I'm like, this is fucking perfect. This is perfect. It's magical. Andy from California.
You had what candy that was delivered to you?
See's candy.
What is that?
Oh, maybe that's just a West Coast thing. See's candy is just a brand of candy.
You would recognize it if you saw it. It's
white box with checkers. It says See's.
here's if this is going to be a stretch, but for my Midwest people back home, it's like Fannie Mae candy.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, it's like that, where it's like at Christmas time, everybody got a box of Fannie Mae candy from somewhere or whatever. It was usually like a grandmother thing. But like, yeah, it's just a brand of candy.
Oh, yeah.
Z's is the business, man.
I was not expecting it to be spelled that way either. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like S-E-E apostrophe S. Gotcha. I think the woman's name that started it, that was her last name.
Yeah.
Which I you think
see her. She's on the box.
Enhance, Kevin. Enhance. Global Enhance.
I want to see C's.
Yeah, but okay, Nick. So we're talking about these.
She's an old woman. I see her. Nothing gets me a hankering for a piece of chocolate more than looking at that old woman.
That grandma definitely is a disciplinarian. She's like, if you're good, you can have one piece of candy. And I think, grandma, you're going to fucking sleep sometime.
Is it me or does it say murder on her?
It does say murderer.
Yeah. It really does. What's the
fun? I know it's there. I bet it's her name or something, but it looks like murder.
It looks like murder or marauder.
Yeah. That's terrifying. I never looked at that before.
What I would like to do with all of these sort of assorted candy brands, I would like to sort of scientifically look at them and figure out what the hit to miss ratio is, because there are so many of these boxes that three of them are good and six of them are filled with just shit that you don't want, and one of them is like, oh, this would be better if it wasn't dark chocolate, but this one's only good because it is dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. There's so many variety that I feel like by the end of the day, Nick, you're left with a decent amount of these assorted boxes of chocolates that you end up eating anyway because it's all there is, but you'd rather them be the other ones that you ate first.
You're spot on. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that 90, like maybe 50% of the candies that I ate, I spit back out because I was like, I don't want to waste it on this. I don't know what's in this. And actually, it was weird because normally they come with a little slip that tells you which candy is what. So you can just kind of like flip it over it. But this one didn't have it for some reason because it was a different shaped box. But I didn't have a blast playing the guessing game of is there caramel in it or is there, you know, it's always, is there marshmallow in it? If there's marshmallow, I want to throw up. It's end game. I don't.
What? Who doesn't like marshmallow?
Oh, you don't like that red shit?
That like bourbon. That yeah.
The there bourbon, it is. This shit. It's like, what is this? Oh, this
no, is I like the Bordeaux. That's weird. My favorite thing are the Bordeaux seeds candy, like the Bordeaux cream filled. I like the maple.
There's a raccoon in Kevin's trash.
That's amazing. And 1 year, Andy, here's what you got to do. So 1 year, you know, you can walk into a See's Candy and you can pick
the ones they have that go them?
In. Yes, there's one actually in the city. I think there's one off of Geary.
There's one in Stonestown. The factory is not too far from the future. Well,
oh, that's right. So you used to be, I don't know if you can with COVID right now. But what did he say? Too far from the future? Just, what did he say? Yeah,
he cut himself off from saying future studio, but it's not too far from the future.
But Andy, there was one Christmas where you could walk in, and my mom used to just pick like there's just assorted boxes that are pre-made. You can pick and grab them and buy them. And now, of course, you can order them online. Back in the day, I was like, hey, I don't like 40% of the candies that are in this. Can I pick the ones that I want to pick? Like, can I just put my favorites in there? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So I got a double decker, like pound box that came in the two layers where like you were done. You pulled it up. You're like, oh, surprise. There's a whole other layer of candies down here. And I got nothing but the Bordeaux's, the caramel patties, and like the brittles. That was it. It was just all my favorite. And it fucked me up for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. The KFC's is you can get samples.
Oh yeah, so, that's the fun part. Yeah,
that was. Oh yeah, that's.
Like oh, they still do it.
Thing. And the samples and the other thing they're known for is they have these suckers. Like
my dad used to love the suckers.
Different types of like chocolate and caramel and stuff on a stick, and it has a little gold wrapper on the top, right? And those things they would give out for free, and that was.
Greg, you used to be able to go in and go, "Can I get a sample of like whatever this?" And they just give you a full candy.
You can still do that, right?
It was just a full thing. I think so.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Oh, here hold we go. On. We
got lollipops.
We gotta, Kevin. We gotta build your own box right here.
Yeah. I'll tell you what box. Though. The lollipops are fantastic. The coffee and chocolate, some of the best things you'll ever eat in your entire life. But the best thing they have is this fucking Toffeeette thing. Oh my god! Every year, Matt those sends like some over.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To the studio, and the thing, I go to town to this box without any shame at all. I just go to Tim because I got to beat Nick because he's going to get in there. Dude,
you better get up early, buddy. You better get up real early.
And it's one of those things where you're not because guys, I'm in that competition with you all because those are very, very good. And whenever we get those sort of toffee things, it's always like, oh, my God, these are delicious. But it's one of those things where I don't want to eat too many to make you all like make fun of me, but as I see them going faster and faster, it's like I have to eat too many
more.
Yeah. They're gonna be gone. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm right there with you. There's multiple times where I've waited.
Slow down when you're chewing.
What?
What's that? Like you're eating you got something, you're really hungry, you've been wanting it, and then you're eating it so fast, do you feel like you're not even tasting it?
Sometimes
you slow down and like chew it really, really intensely to try to get as much flavor out of it as you can to enjoy the moment.
Like that chocolate cake you had the other day?
Nah, that I fucking inhaled. You saw me do it.
Yeah, that's fair. Of course, dude. My biggest problem is like I am always trying to be on some level of healthy eating. So when I have to wait for everyone to leave the kitchen before I start horking down as many pieces of candy as possible.
Can you hork it down?
You can hork it down too, Greg. Because what I don't want is for Kevin to come around the corner and see me and then just do that thing where he smiles and then starts laughing at me. That's hell. That's just death right there.
Yeah,
this is really interesting. I'm looking through all the variety that you can select, and they have 8 pages of 8. So there's 64 options here that you can choose from. And on See's Candy's website, you could build your own custom box. And I'm seeing a lot of stuff that I wish I had been seeing in a lot of these assorted boxes of chocolates.
Well, yeah, then I'm gonna put
a lot of them look very appetizing, Kevin. I'm seeing milk almond square. I'm seeing milk butterscotch square. There's like a lot of really good looking stuff, but then. You know, dark raspberry cream. I don't really know.
I love dark raspberry cream.
Yeah, that's the one I like.
Greg, we need to split candy, apparently, because you like all the stuff I don't like.
Milk peanut nougat sounds delicious.
You got the peanuts in there. I don't want it. Yeah.
Love See, oh, nougat. But they also have some truffles that I'm kind of thrown off by these because these do not look like your standard. These are obviously chocolate candies. Apple pie truffle is in here.
A little bonbon with like the stuffing in there. It's good.
Yeah. The truffles are always interesting because I always, for some stupid reason, when I was a kid, I couldn't grasp the concept that, in fact, maybe I still don't know why they call them truffles. But I think it's because they have the shape of the truffle, right? Which is that sort of like mushroomy thing.
Yeah,
truffle
it's a mushroom, right? Yeah.
It's like a very expensive mushroom where it's like $100 and a gram or an ounce, or whatever. So for when I was a kid, I never wanted to eat the truffle chocolates because they always made me think of that right there. And that looks like dried shit.
Yeah.
That's truffles are delicious.
Oh, of course they are.
That looks like a fucking cancerous tumor or something. Like pulled out.
It looks like a donut hole powder.
This is what your lung looks like, sort of thing, after smoking.
It's funny because it tastes really good though.
Too many heaters, you know.
Have you guys ever been to a restaurant where they like bring the truffles to the table and you have to pay per like slice of it?
What are you rich?
No, I've never done it. I just think it's always so cool when people do it.
It's real. Like, I've never seen it.
The height of decadence.
Greg, you're gonna ask me something?
Yeah. Do you want to build me a box of candy and I'll build you a box of candy and we send each other the candy for Christmas? Candy.
Okay.
Tim's, I'm gonna send myself.
Tim,
a box of candy
now. I'm gonna build myself a box. I just wanted you to know.
Guys, gotta do. Kevin, I don't know if you remember this, Kevin. The most famous See's Candy story that I have is when I was real young, they did a partnership with Wizard of Oz for some reason. It doesn't make any sense. But they sold a house. Like, you know, Wizard of Oz, the house got taken up in the tornado. Mm-hmm. They sold this like cardboard house that was like really big. Like you can go in and it kind of was like a tent for little kids. So it was like a little playhouse that like dumbass little kids get to play in, right? But it's all cardboard. But me, Cool Greg, and Kevin loved this thing because we got our own little like house in our house, you know.
That's
and
cool.
Then Kevin's older sister,
who doesn't want a house inside,
legitimately took scissors to it.
Kevin, what is wrong with your family? Why can't anybody have
one of the most fucked up things that's ever happened to me? We're just sitting in there, playing with our Ninja Turtles. Then all of a sudden, cut straight. We just a hole, and it just rips down. The walls fall down. It was horrible.
I have no memory of this, actually. And I think that it's better this way. You know,
I thought Kevin was gonna say, "Fun fact: I paid her to do it."
You have to imagine, Greg, though, about Kevin's family is that somewhere a long time ago, Kevin did something to deserve that.
No,
and
that's
it's
a
just
child you're talking about.
I know, but Kevin, even as a child, I'm sure there was moments where your
sister was a very nice child.
To take it back to this
like
kid.
I was broken into this person that is constantly trying to break you.
That's fair. That's fair. So you're saying the cycle of abuse continues.
What a Marvel villain. Always. It's an absolute Marvel phase.
Kevin's origin story was as Kevin's like arming the nuclear weapon as he thinks back and flashbacks, and he's sitting in this little cardboard house with his best friend, and then scissors come and stabbed him in the head, and he's like, no. No.
It's seriously like looking up from the bottom, like, you made me. Like,
oh god.
All right, Sam, it's the 100th episode. You said you had a lot of cool stuff planned. What do you got?
Well, I showed you my books. Oh, sorry. You know, I do. It's not a cool thing planned, but I do have a question that I want to pose to you guys.
Okay. Oh.
What is the moment
dare
that what?
I was like,
he said dare, like truth or dare. Tell him to go eat something. Tell him to go eat a bag of tea.
Bite something, Greg. So, God, don't bite that. What was the moment that you realized you were you? Like Greg Miller became who you now look at as Greg Miller. Does that make sense? I'll give you my example of what made me think about this.
Sure.
I recently heard the song Everybody Dance Now.
Everybody Dance Now.
It's a great jam, dude.
When I was in fourth grade, I was late to school one day, and I had to do like the walk of shame, kind of like opening the door and like going in, right? And I did that, and all the lights were off in the building, and all the kids had their heads down, like heads up, seven up style. And I was like, oh, great, this is like so bad. The lights turn on, they all pop up. The teacher hit play on a boombox, and that song started playing. And like everyone was dancing, and he like announced me. He was like, Tim Geddes, mates. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on, but I love this right now. And that was the moment that I became me.
That's
I realized, amazing. I'm like, this is what I want to do with my life. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But I want to have fun, and I want to be able to enter places and have music play.
I see what you're saying.
Andy, what is your moment?
Mine would have to be probably in high school theater. I was a sophomore. And in the Willy Wonka play, they made the villain Slugworth into a much bigger role where he was more of a Disney type villain. And so I was Slugworth, and I was the guy that made all the audience hate me. I made all the kids hate me or whatever. But me and all my friends are basically like the main actors in this stage play. And the show starts off very structured, and we do like 15 shows in a span of like 2 weeks or something like that. And during the daytime, kids from all over like the Rio Grande Valley are being bussed in to like watch it. And then we do night shows. It's like a whole fucking thing. And towards the end of the runs of the shows, more and more improv starts to take place. So by the end of it, it's just me and all my
friends. You know your character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And by the end of it, it's me and all my friends. And we're just fucking around. And we're just like thinking of ways to make each other laugh. And also making the audience laugh a lot. And the people who have watched the show multiple times are kind of in on it as well. And I think it's like towards the end of that run where I was like, oh, me and my friends, we all have this kind of innate ability to fuck around and make people laugh and be kind of endearing towards an audience. So I think that's probably about when. Yeah.
Nick.
I'm trying to think of like one moment. I mean, I've always been kind of a goof off for sure. But it must have been, I mean, there's been moments in my life that I can think of. Like, I think there was one moment in college where I was at a party and I was just talking, and I kind of stopped for a second, and I realized there was like five or six people that were just around me. Like, they hadn't said anything. They were just laughing and having a fun time. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I wish I could do that like all the time. And then 20 years later, I started doing stand up. So that was a pivotal moment in my life.
It really put you on your path.
No, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing too for me is like I always had Matt, right? And growing up, Matt was always funnier. Matt was always the one that everyone wanted to be around. He was always the loudest one. And so I think there was just the part of me that was
better
like,
than you.
He definitely can. It's annoying. And he's taller. But I think there was always a moment where like I think in a lot of ways I stepped into his shoes because we went to the same high school. And so we knew like we only were a year apart. And so when he had graduated, I came in. And so when it was like my theater director started, like when I started in theater and stuff like that, she remembered him, and so that automatically gave me the sort of like, all right, I know what we're in for with this one. Like, we got the other brother, he was insane, let's see how insane this one can be. And so that allowed me to sort of be like, okay, well, there's an expectation that I can be ridiculous, but I can also just be a little more refined because I'm not him. And so, and he was always, I think, you know, looking back when I watch like old video of him or like of me and stuff like that. I'm like, he was just so much better on stage than I was. He just had a better feel for the craft of like acting and like being and having better stage presence. But there was always, it was always cool to have that example to look to and just be and just, you know, just have a path to follow in that regard.
Sorry, I just saw Greg's Reddit thread.
Oh God, what is it?
Andy doesn't care about audio listeners. Vent here.
Great.
I'm just getting ahead of it. You know, I hate it when there's like 15 threads about the same thing. If you put one thread up there, maybe we should pin it. Just so
see, with that is a great segue. Greg, what was the moment you became Greg Miller?
Yeah, I want you to know I cleared the mechanism, and this is the story that came up, and I've cleared it several times to get to a different story, but this is the story that comes up.
I ever used delivery off of this story three times, and finally you're like, just fucking let
first
it in.
I ever jacked off after I cleaned up. The first thought was, man, I gotta watch Love Line. So I turned on the TV and watched Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. I think talked to like Samuel Jackson. I don't even fucking know. And I think it was equal parts like, I'm going to understand this show more, but then also I need someone who understands
guidance.
Me.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. You know, I mean, it was the perfect harmony.
I need acceptance.
So I tried several times, as Andy said, and Nick said, I tried to pull up. I tried to find something else. I was grasping for other rings. That was the mind just kept saying, now go to the jerk off story. Go to that go first to jerk-off time. Story. Essentially jerked off. There you go.
So it's not like back in the day when you were a kid and did Greg's Gazette. And it's not back in the day when you did all these amazing things and got encouragement. It's the first time you pulled your PUD. And then decided to watch. By the way, how old were you? Because I don't remember Loveline being a show until well into the late 90s.
Hold on, Greg, did you say successfully?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if
what I was the unsuccessful. I do.
You just tapped out too early. You didn't know exactly what was going on, right?
No, I the first time.
Andy tried to hold this all together.
I think, you know, it's like one of those things. Like, you know, I don't know. If this is what it is. Okay, and you're like, all right, there's a lot of work. I'm gonna go to bed. I think I'm done. And you weren't done. You know what I mean? And then you do it again right before you watch Love Line and you just push through it. You know what I mean? And you find something new. And then you're like,
it was a chore back then, but I did push through. I remember distinctly being like, one day I'll like this.
Sure.
I just put the effort in.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know
that. What a great episode.
I think for everyone, it was the second I touched that when we had the awakening. It was an awakening. I was like, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to see where this road goes.
It was just before I was fully there, kind of.
Yeah, thing. You weren't. You probably hadn't like developed all to the point where
you knew you're supposed to do happen. It, but you weren't. You didn't know you're. You didn't know how to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, you would feel like the feeling, but nothing would happen.
Yeah.
Until, again, I've told this story before. It was watching the Cindy Margolis show, the number one downloaded woman in the 2000s, and that's the first time that when I climaxed, something came out. And I was like, what's happening? And I got so scared. Right. And I remember, I've told the story again before several times. I was watching a couple weeks ago. I just watched an episode of Frasier where Frasier could not produce any more semen. The semen wasn't strong enough in order to impregnate whoever he was dating. Or there was somebody on the show that had like very weak semen. And like
weak Niles.
Couldn't impregnate the woman, and they're like, sorry dude, you're just too old, this, and I was like, oh my god, so like, is that what happens if you do this too early? I got really, really scared. Cindy Margolis though, and also Girls Gone Wild too.
When did Cindy Margolis have her own show? Was it you say MTV?
No, it was like on NBC or CBS or ABC.
I don't remember this at all.
Maybe it was E.
It must
be. For your knowledge, Nicholas Scarpino, Loveline was on MTV from 1996 to 2000.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because I remember listening. I guess that does check out. I apologize then. That would have been the time. That was roughly the round of time that I got into Loveline too, because I started driving and then working at night. And that I remember driving home from Boompa's Pizza, where I used to work in the Mission Grove. Not Mission Grove. It was in the University Center. And I used to drive home and listen to Loveline, and I loved that show so much. That was like that. You want to talk about shows that really like helped open your eyes to what the world could be? Adam Carolla on Loveline was one of those things where you go, wait a minute, this guy is so not made for radio, and yet he's absolutely fascinating. Like Tim, I don't know if you listened to Loveline back in the day.
Oh my god, yeah.
And I don't know who your
CD player that I had also had like AM/FM radio on it as well, and every night I would listen to it.
Like, but you were like, I thought you were gonna say you burned episodes of CDs.
That would have been some Tim ass shit to do. I was like, I sold it to my friends in class the next day. But I just remember listening to Adam Carolla, and like, you know, up until this point, like, I mean, Dr. Drew was always like professional, and someone would call in with, they would call in with something, and Adam would hit a point literally every second call where he was just tired of the person, and no matter what that person was saying, he would cut it off. Like, no, just stop. Hang up on this person. Or say something horrible that you were just like, that's not what a radio personality is supposed to. I was used to like, I grew up like with like Casey Kasem and like Ryan Seacrest and like all these people, not Ryan Seacrest, who was the guy with the, from Kiss FM that was big? Rick Dees, who were these guys that were like AAA, that doing the character of the radio guy. And then here comes Adam Carolla, who is just like a curmudgeon-y old uncle. And it was so unbelievably fascinating and awesome to listen to, because you're like, it felt like one of your brother's friends was just shooting the shit on the radio.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, obviously, what it's like to be a kid these days, but I remember back then what a big deal Loveline was, and I'm blanking on it right now, but in Chicago, B96, I'm not sure if that was a nationwide station, had like a knockoff Loveline. And I remember what, as you're, you know, what, I guess, What do you call 12-year-olds? Not teenagers, right? Well, you're on that cusp or whatever, right? Adolescence or whatever, right? Of like when you're caught between that or whatever, and then even when you become a teenager or whatever, like listening to that felt at the time, you know, before the internet was what it is, obviously, and everything else, it felt like so secretive. And it would be that thing, I remember listening in my room with like the clock radio, like that I had to wait, that I didn't even use for an alarm clock, but I had for some reason. You'd listen to that and just sit there and listen and do your homework or whatever, but then keep it down because it was like stuff you didn't want your parents to hear. And then the next day at school, talk about nonstop what you had heard on there, or what this person had said, or what situation they were into. And then, yeah, when it came to MTV, it was like a different ballgame.
I have to imagine it's just, no, go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, like, I'm very, very sad. Very sad news here. But Cindy Margolis' show was in fact canceled.
It was
canceled. Recently? Yeah, it was canceled November 24th, 2000. It ran for 15 episodes. Uh-huh. And the Wikipedia entry says it's a 2000 television show filmed in Miami Beach, Florida. The premise of the show was to have a lot of young people party and dance around a stage, of which various events took place, such as bikini contests. The show was hosted by Margolis and Lance Krall, with DJ Scribble providing dance music for the partygoers. Mm-hmm. And then I then went to Wikipedia Cindy Margolis herself just to look at her filmography. First showed up in Austin Powers as a fembot in 1997.
Oh, wow.
Last showed up in Sharknado 3 playing herself.
Wow. I was totally confused, by the way. I, for some reason, when you said Cindy Margolis, thought you were talking about Kylie Minogue. And those are two definitely different people. I don't know why. For some reason, I just thought he's got to be talking about Kylie Minogue.
When it started, when he said Cindy Margolis, I pictured Daisy Fuentes. I remember when Cindy Margolis was showing up as the most downloaded woman of the internet. Like, what does that mean?
Why? Yeah, I had no idea what that even meant at the time. There was also this one other show.
I haven't thought about that in a while.
There was also this one other nighttime sort of show that was
I'm talking about that person is what I meant to say. Excuse me.
There was another nighttime show that was very similar to Married with Children, kind of in that same sitcom-y vein, but more mature, you know, as far as language goes. And there was a puppet rabbit, puppet.
The bunny. I used to have to write. Greg the Bunny.
Yeah. Anyway, the girl on there just did stuff to me too. Like, I was just like,
like in real life?
I guess.
The Bunny did for me. No, man. I love that thing. I bought one. I had a Greg the Bunny.
Oh, it was Seth Green. That's right. It was Seth Green.
You had one before the show ever came out, right?
I don't remember, but I had this bunny.
Wait, no, wait. I remember. I'm thinking of woofers.
Woofers.
Yeah,
glad I'm not
the way
awesome.
That Kevin's mind works, just the words that come out of his mouth, like as if anybody can understand them. Like,
you get it.
Woofers.
I do get it. But that's because I unfortunately know how your brain works. Like,
you know woofers too.
Who's woofers? I don't know woofers.
Woofers. Mr. Woofers was my stuffed dog that I had.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait. So Andy, was it?
There was a redhead girl on the show.
And not on this show.
Like, okay, so this isn't the show then. The show I'm thinking of had this redhead girl that was meant to be sort of the Married to children, the daughter,
Kelly Bundy.
Yeah, that figure of just like the eye candy, the sort of blonde. Obviously, she was a redhead, so it doesn't really make sense what I'm saying. But that was the role that she played on the show.
No, that's stereotypical character. Like, yeah.
I thought she was like insanely hot, and that was like one of those nighttime shows. What's up, Kev?
The redhead. What was the name of the like? There was a show with like was it like a gray dog that would talk to the guy?
No, that's
the one with what's his face? Elijah Wood.
Frodo.
That one.
No, yeah, Frodo no, did that. That's too. That's more recent.
Well, I know it's recent. Yeah.
God, I'm it's killing me because it's very similar of. This Married with Children vibe, but there was a character on the show that was like a puppet or somebody in a costume, or it was a toy that everybody spoke to normally too. It wasn't like this random ass thing. He was just
now,
part of the family.
Are you thinking about Small Wonder?
How we got there? 2020. We got there, everybody.
Dude, I saw someone reference Small Wonder on Twitter yesterday, and it made me angry.
Yeah, you don't get it. Now, see here, the thing is, Tim, remember the other day you paid me a very nice compliment. You said, Nick, most of the time you just talk out of your ass and I don't understand any of your fucking references. But when it came to Karate Kid, you were like, you were singing The Glory of Love for the longest time. And finally, you saw the moment and it touched you. And you're like, Nick might have been right about this one. This might be the greatest power ballad ever. One day, I don't know what you're going to be watching. You're going to stumble across an episode of Small Wonder and it's going to catch you, right? And you're
going to be like, oh my God.
I don't want to live in a world where I see Small Wonder. Andy, you're thinking of Unhappily Ever After, Nikki Cox.
Oh yeah, Nikki Cox. That's right.
Wait, was there a puppet on that show?
Yeah, there was a weird dog and it was the knockoff Married with Children.
Oh shit, this is the one. With the kid from fucking Malcolm in the Middle. Oh my God, this is the one.
I feel like Nikki Cox had her own show too. Didn't she have like the Nikki Cox show or something like that? No, maybe it was just the show. No, she had Nikki, that's right, 2000 to 2002.
You guys, this is weird. This is like, I remember this now, but through the lens of that I thought it was...
A dream.
No, the Married...
Greg the Bunny.
Married with Children.
Married Children.
I was going to say, are you getting sort of those, are you getting sort of the Shazam Kazam vibes from this show?
Oh my God, I do remember this. And I remember, is that the guy from Entourage? Did we just go over that? Sorry.
And that's the gray dog.
From Entourage, right? Yeah. Wow, what a weird world. Dude, the late 90s, man.
Too many hours to fill.
I guess so. That's when TV blew up. You're right. It was like, there's like 500 networks. Now we all have to make fucking shows with puppets.
Mr. Floppy is his name.
How weird.
Damn, it ran for 4 years. Good for them.
What was that? What's the dad's name in that?
I don't know.
This is a fever dream. Like, I'm Google image searching this now. I'm looking at it, and I just can't believe it's real.
Yeah. it's weird.
Do we want to watch the intro? Because I want to see how similar it is to it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'd love to see that. Thank you.
I'm on it.
That's a great call, Kevin. Right after that, we're going to see a word from our sponsors, and then we're going to save someone's Christmas. All right, that's what we're doing.
Oh, cool. Okay, fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. Do y'all want to save my Christmas?
Sorry, what?
Do y'all want to save my Christmas?
I was sending you a box of candy. Remember, we're going to plan it.
All right, I'm ready.
Hit it. Oh, it's Canadian.
But Andy, I want to get back to your Christmas at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, damn it, you guys can't hear it. Give me a second.
Andy, what's wrong? What do you need to do to save your Christmas? What do you want?
Candy.
He needs me to get a pound of seized candy delivered.
This might be serious.
I'm just thinking of like stuff that I want.
Okay, it's not serious. It's not serious.
Yeah, not serious. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is...
Wait.
Is this not the same song from Married with Children?
It is not. No,
that's Freaks and Love and Marriage.
All right.
Love and Marriage.
Oh my God. This is insane, guys.
It is Kevin Connolly. Oh my God. So this is like a blatant ripoff of Married with Children.
We were a Married with Children house, so I wasn't watching it.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Bobcat Goldthwait was Mr. Flappy. Okay.
I think I maybe like this more. But somehow this has been deleted.
Yeah, because it's not as good. Married with Children.
It's Married with.
They set a stain.
What the hell is smoking?
Yeah, he's smoking a cigarette. So like it was the dad's like childhood puppet, right? And the dad like talked to it or something like that.
A coping mechanism.
Yeah, I just remember like I remember the show vaguely. Married with Children. I watched Are you so ready for many episodes of that, but I did not like the show at all.
Synopsis. The series was initially supposed to be a starring vehicle for Stephanie Hodge, whose character Jenny was the focus of the first few episodes. The series concept was soon reworked. Jack, who had been kicked out of the house and was living in his own apartment, was brought back home and moved into the basement. Soon Jack, a family man with schizophrenia, whose only friend was a talking toy rabbit, became the central character, along with the rabbit, Mr. Floppy. In the first two seasons, storylines featured Jenny's mother, Maureen Statley, who was Joyce Van Patten. When Van Patten left the show, her character was killed off. By the show's third season, Tiffany, Nikki Cox, became a breakout character, and Cox became the de facto co-star of the show alongside Pearson. Stories focused on Tiffany and Ryan's high school, then community college escapades, and the producers tried to kill off Jenny's increasingly unnecessary character and return her as a ghost. Negative audience reaction made them quickly reverse this action. The character was brought back to life in a deliberately bizarre sequence in which a network executive wandered onto the set and announced that she was no longer dead. Nevertheless, Hodge decided to leave the show in several episodes after Jenny's bizarre reappearance. She abandoned her family for a lesbian lover and was never seen again. Cox was already signed to star in a new series for the WB when unhappily ended.
This show is wild.
And the final season focused more on Tiffany. A new character joined the cast, Tiffany's rival Barbara Caulfield. The series wrapped up on a final episode in which Jack finally made enough money to send Tiffany to Harvard University. Once Jack started making money, he no longer needed Floppy, and his schizophrenia was cured, and Floppy returned to being just a stuffed animal. Jack soon went insane from drinking again and brought Floppy back from the dead.
What the? All right, cool.
Can you imagine if there being a really big fan base for this and how social media would have been at that time? Just how like angry the fans would have been, how confused the fan base would have been. Like, what is happening with this show? Because it ran for 4 years. Like, you don't get picked up for four seasons if you're not that popular. So there was a fan base of some amount. That's crazy. That's wild. I was thinking about like how crazy Twitter would have been.
Okay, hold on. No. Oh my God, Andy. You couldn't have set this up better, because at the bottom of the Wikipedia page, there's the links or whatever. There's an Unhappily Ever After fan page. And this is cs.cmu.edu. Which college is CMU, Andy.edu? Anyway.
No, I don't know.
This is the one that's being put here. And the first thing at the top of the page right now, right? Some thoughts on the finale. The first thing that struck me about the series finale is how it was the first episode in a long time to be true to the original premise of the series, in that it focused mainly on Jack. The second thing that struck me is that the show was on for 5 seasons and they never figured out what the heck to do with Ross. Airing the pilot episode right afterwards was a nice touch, although it certainly reminded me of how much the show had changed after the first season. It was fun seeing how young kids looked, except for Ross. I hadn't really noticed that the kids had aged. I am now definitely convinced that they got a new Mr. Floppy puppet during the second season. It was a shame they didn't air the original opening credits with the original theme song, though. I also have to wonder if they edited some material from it to make time for more commercials. I don't remember seeing Barry appear in it last night, but he appeared in the credits.
Not everybody was perverts, it turns out. Some people actually loved the show.
Not all of them. Not all of them were.
Just really, really quick, I was thinking about the other day, totally, you know, not very related to what we're talking about, but how Twitter would have been when being like, wait, there's another fucking Death Star? Really?
There's just another Death Star? That's what they make again?
Yeah.
They covered one porthole this time. Lord almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, you can hear us talk about whatever it is we want to talk about as we catch up with friends. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to be part of the show, just like Chris is when we come back. But more importantly for this right now, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, here are our sponsors. This episode of the Kind of Funny podcast is brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? And have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Up next, it's ExpressVPN. It is December, which means it's time for Christmas movies. But what if you go to Netflix and discover your favorite Christmas movie isn't available? Get ready to have your mind blown. You can use ExpressVPN to watch any Netflix library in the world. This weekend, I know Cool Greg was over there. He was using ExpressVPN to stream a whole bunch of Christmas classics. I think he was watching Love Actually on German Netflix. This is all according to Tim. Go after him if it's not right. It was simple. He opens the app, he hits the button, it changes his location, it's refreshed his Netflix, and there it is. See, ExpressVPN lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 countries, so just imagine all the Netflix libraries you can explore. And of course, it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. That's Disney+, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason Kinda Funny uses ExpressVPN to watch movies and shows is because it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering, and you can always stream in HD. ExpressVPN works with all your devices too, including phones, tablets, media consoles, and smart TVs, so you can use it to watch whatever you want on the go or the big screen. If you visit our special link right now, expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and get your holiday fix at expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And finally, it's Hims. You know all about 4hims.com, the one-stop shop for sexual wellness, for baldness, for just taking care of yourself. Of course, Nick and Andy have been using it to treat their hair loss for quite some time. They get their vitamins shipped. You know all about it. They went online to 4hims.com. They had a meeting with a doctor. The doctor said, you know what? This is right for you. They prescribed the generic equivalents to well-known name brands. They were sent discreetly to Nick and Andy's door where they continue to do it. Today, we're going to talk about ED, that's erectile dysfunction. At 4hims, you don't have to deal with in-person conversations with a doctor. They'll connect you with medical professionals online for a confidential review, and if appropriate, send prescription treatment right to your door. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. Need help with ED, hair loss, or have a cold? Interested in mental health or COVID-19 home tests? Hims is here for you. Through Hims, you can get prescription medication that treats ED. It's real science, real solutions to ED. Hims connects you with a licensed medical professional online who can prescribe FDA-approved prescription medication to treat ED. You get the same active ingredient as the expensive little pills, but without the expensive price tag. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you had to go to a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims makes it simple and affordable, and there's no embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. You just answer a few questions online about your medical history, and a provider will confidentially review. Try Hims today by starting with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/kindoffunny for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/kindoffunny, forhims.com/kindoffunny. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical professional who will determine if the prescription is appropriate. See the website for full details and safety information. And remember, 4hims.com/kindoffunny. All right, everybody. It's our final show of 2020. It's our final show before Christmas. Chris needs our help settling some Christmas drama. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a long one. Is this another burger one?
No. Hello? I finally decided to become a Patreon member, so I figured with this, I would ask you a question that I would all like your opinion on. Did I ruin Christmas 2020? Mm-hmm. It started a few weeks ago. My brothers went and got him... He says brothers, went and got himself one of those new fancy Galaxy watches. He showed me the piano face. I needed it. I'm a sucker for new tech, and he knows this. My watch I had been wearing broke about the same time, so I expressed to my wife how I needed it. Now, my wife didn't celebrate Christmas before we got married due to her religion, and me, I'm not a huge fan anyway. So our tradition has always been just buy something for ourselves and say, this is what you got me. And it's always worked. Then Black Friday sales came up and the watch dropped to 250 smackaroos. I called my wife and told her and she told me, come home first. I said, quote, check stock levels first. I don't want to miss out. So her and my mom were then called me back 5 minutes later saying all stock in all stores was exhausted. Gutted. I checked online. I temporarily checked online and sure as shit, I went and got it online. I called her back very proud I had gotten and she gotten it and she wasn't happy. 2 minutes later, my brother called me back and screamed, "You fucking idiot. You ruined Christmas. I already got you the watch 2 weeks ago. Go return it." I replied, "Well, I just got it for $250 cheaper than yours. Return yours." Did I ruin Christmas? Because the way I see it, I had no expectations for my brother to buy me the watch. Maybe my wife, but no one else. Plus, who buys cool shit 2 weeks before Black Friday? Am I the one to blame for being impatient? And they did lie to me as well by saying there's no stock available, which did put me in a panic, so it didn't help at all. Thanks for everything you do, Chris McFarland. P.S. Mom has now declared that no one can buy themselves anything from November 1st till Christmas.
A declaration.
Which is stupid because, well, Black Friday sales. Should there be a blanket you can't buy things on this? Should there be a blanket you can't buy things from this date? And how early is too early to buy someone gifts?
All of this is just a loud, emphatic no. Just no, all of this. No, you didn't ruin Christmas. No, you shouldn't be doing any of this shit. This is nonsense. This is the worst aspects of the holiday season all coming together to annoy the shit out of me right now.
This guy sounds you'd get along with him and his wife. Just whatever. Yeah. I bought you this. This is what you bought me. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're good. I get my Galaxy Watch for a good deal, good price. That's all that I could ask for.
Yeah. See, I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't have a brother. I ate my twin in utero. But the thing I would think is if he survived, or she for that matter, if they survived, I would think that we would have a fun relationship, right? Outside of me eating them. It would be, there's a chunk out of their head. You know what I mean? But no, I would think that like if this happened, it'd be like, ha ha. And I would tell the brother, yeah, return it. You know what I mean? Give me 200. You can give me the $250 and I got the watch and everybody's happy. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares about any of this? Why is opening the damn box on the day such a big deal?
Yeah, my thing is always with the Christmas present stuff. I'm like, if you have kids, it's different, right? But I feel like you get the kids the presents, they can't buy for themselves unless they've smartly figured out how to steal their mother's credit card. For me, I've had to actually have some tough conversations with my family where I'm like, I just don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do gift exchanges anymore. It became harder when I moved up here and then I'd have to either fly or drive the gifts down. And I'm like, guys, I don't want to do this anymore. Also, there's nothing that I want that you're going to get me. And I don't mean that in like a, like you can't, I just mean like, I get the stuff that I want for myself, but I also don't buy a lot of things. I'd rather you guys just hang out with me. Let me take that money and spend it toward a couple tickets for myself or for you guys to come up and come see me. And my brother was the last holdout on that because he really loves giving gifts. But it was every single time he'd give me something, I'd be like, dude, like he used to give me candles and stuff. I'm like, I can't take this back up on it's no disrespect. I love it. It's amazing. I love the feeling of like you cared enough to buy me this, but I have to then take it back up with me. And like I had to throw a candle out one time because I was like, they won't let me take it through security and things like that.
Candles. So, I thought you said camels, like cigarettes.
No.
So I mean, good if you got them, Johnny.
Those you can definitely take through security. Yeah. But yeah, so we had some hard, and my mom was on the same road with you. She was like, I just don't want you guys to feel like you have to get me some stuff because my house has so like, but the problem is with my parents, they don't have hobbies. So inevitably it defaulted to just getting them tchotchke. It just to have something for them to open. And there's only so many cigar ashtrays you can get my dad before I'm like, I think he's got enough. He's got one in literally every room. So
tchotchke?
Get him the one from Gremlins, the smokeless ashtray. Smokeless.
I don't think that worked. Wasn't that the whole reason why he had to start breeding gremlins?
Mike L in the live chat right now says gift giving should primarily be for children. I agree
entirely. All like I've said this many times, all of my Grinch bullshit dies the moment I have a kid that realizes what the hell's going on and what's up.
Any of you have kids, whoever has the first kid, spoiling. Uncle Nick, I've always wanted to be cool Uncle Nick.
Sure.
And like I have friends that have kids, but they're just, Andy, it's too far to drive to see him.
It's a long way.
I got friends that live 40 minutes south. I can't be a part of your kid's life. But you guys not are going to be either. Around me and the kids are going to, you're going to bring the kids to me, which is inevitably. What I really want. Inevitably, the kid. So one of the kids is dropping by the studio at some point. Cool Uncle Nick's going to teach him how to play basketball. Wow. And teach you how to, like, yeah. You know what I mean?
I've seen Cool Uncle Nick playing basketball. You want someone else to be better
than a kid. He's got to be better than a kid. You know what I mean?
I don't know about
that. He hurt his arm and the got kid? Really mad. he got so mad after he hurt his arm.
Oh, I threw my shoulder out. Shoot the ball.
Real quick, speaking of bringing kids to the studio, I brought Moose to the studio for the first time ever a couple days ago because I had to get something there, and he met Toonses. Now, for those of you at home that doesn't know who Toonses is, Nick, would you like to explain?
Hold on, real quick, before you explain, twice I looked at Toonses thinking it was real when I was packing up my shit. Like, it happened twice where I turned around and got like the little spook in me, like, oh, never mind, it's Steven.
How do we find? Oh wait, no, people think, should know about this. It was
a KFF thing. Yeah, I gave myself, rather, you guys got me for my birthday, Toonses, I believe, which was a gift exchange thing. One of the stupid things we did on KFF, but Toonses was the thing I found at Target. It's a weight for like a door stopper or a weight for doors that has a little handle on it, but it's a photorealistic picture of a cat, and if you see it from the right angle, you just think a cat sitting by your door looking at you. Yeah, and it's not an angry look, Andy, but it's not
happy to see you.
Happy look either. Yeah, it's more of like a something's gonna happen and I don't know what. Yeah. But neither of us are going to like it. Look,
but yeah, awful. Twice it freaked me out. Like, no joke. I turned around to, I'm at my desk and I'm throwing stuff out. And because again, we're clearing out our studio, and I was clearing out my stuff, and I turn around to go take something back to the kitchen, and I'm just like, oh, I'd get that little, you know, when you think there's somebody in the room, even like at Rooster Teeth when Gus had his cutout like body, and that would always freak you out and shit like that. And it was it's the same effect of thinking that there's a cat in the studio. Like, how did this get here? How long has this been here?
You'll be happy to know, Andy.
Yeah, what did Moose think? What did Moose? Yeah,
terrified. Okay, I've never seen him this scared of anything in my life. Like, he was like, I had to like to get him in the room because I had to close the door so he wouldn't run around. He was still on his leash, and I had to like do the thing where I'm like pulling him, and he's like trying to get away from him, like, you stupid shit. It's a freaking weight. Like, just
has he met a cat? Does he know what a cat is?
He's met Thomas.
Oh, okay.
But and like
a normal cat. Has he met a normal cat?
Yeah, I was gonna say anything that comes out of Kevin's house, there's I can no totally understand scarring cat. You for life.
No. He's him and Thomas get along, but him and Toonses, oh hell no. Why do we call it Toonses again? I don't remember.
Toonses is the driving cat.
Yeah,
we're old. Yeah, we're me and Nick are old and remember Phil Hartman's Saturday Night Live, and that's about the time Toonses the driving cat was a big deal.
That time it was a cat that would drive, but the joke was every single time it would drive him
all over the town. Toonses the driving cat.
That was the time that I didn't really understand what that bit was and why it was funny. Like, I was still a little too young to know why that bit was funny. I just didn't get it. I didn't understand it.
It was just so stupid. That's why. And it's the one I remember is the one that Tim just put in the chat, which is the one with Steve Martin when Steve Martin used to guest host. That was the thing I remember him and what's what is her name? Olivia something. No. Anyway,
Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson. Thank you. I remember them being the ones who were like, it's so awesome that Toonses is driving us to the thing. And then Andy was like, it would just cut to stock footage of them driving off a cliff every single time.
Wait, Kev, pull this up.
My favorite was when Linda Hamilton hosted for Terminator 2. Go to assets and pull up this Toonses driving cat. When Linda Hamilton hosted, and it was like they were riffing on Terminator 2, and Toonses was fucking driving the car with the Terminator in, and just fucking went off the side. every time it always ended the same. Where, man, this cat really can drive. No, Toonses. When the stock footage of it going off the thing.
So good, so funny.
Oh God.
It does. It's not. It's not what we call a deep joke, Andy.
Y'all got your Andy Samberg's down as laser cats. This is what paved the way. All right. Yeah,
this is the shoulder.
I see on your TikTok, Andy, talking about Lonely Boys. I know what you're up to over there. This is what made it all possible.
Those Lonely Boys.
I see it. I know what's happening over there. Don't worry about it, everyone.
Oh man.
So yeah, Chris, you're totally in the right. No, that's stupid. Mm-hmm. They should calm down. They should slow their roll. I also think that it's hard. I granted, I haven't been part of a family that lives close to each other for a long time. So like, I don't even think about buying people gifts. It's usually a card, and then, oh shit, I got to mail something over there. You know what I mean? Like, but I was talking to somebody else who was doing like the traditional, oh, we're doing Christmas shopping, and we went and got this for my mom. And then I was like, did they want these things? And like, oh no, these are things that like we got them that we're thinking of. And I'm like, oh, okay. I remember being a kid and doing that, but I just moved out of it, I guess.
It would be a thing if maybe they hinted at you at any point, hey, you know,
yeah,
and then you got it anyway and be like, come on, we were hinting at you. Why would you fucking buy it? Right. I can understand maybe that, but still, like, no, you.
Hey, that's the one right there. That's it. That's a little shit right there. See that look? That look could mean I just shit on something of yours, or I'd like to be petted right now.
Don't that's... close your eyes and either yeah, way, don't I'm attacking one I you. Open. Yeah,
because you scared the shit out of me.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on this. Like. I just looked over and there was a Coke Zero right by my face. I had asked for a while back. I'm with Andy where if you got the person the present and they say, hey, I'm getting this, then you have to go one layer deeper and be like, or maybe you shouldn't. Wink, 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 yeah. Wink. Or maybe you should just wait and see what like my mom used to be like, maybe you should wait and see what Santa got you.
Yeah.
And
I'd be yeah, like, yeah.
Okay, that's code for somebody got me the watch. I appreciate
it. Once we become adults, really, I kind of feel like,
bro, I got you that watch for Christmas. Don't get it. It's like
this thing, the other day, like Jen's sister hit me up and was like, hey, you know, basically like, can you help me get Cyberpunk or whatever? And I was like, oh, this is perfect. We were wondering what to get you for Christmas. Here you go. And I just gave it to her right then. I'm like, this is for Christmas. You know what I mean? Enjoy it now kind of thing. Like, why make people wait? Again,
have fun playing on your PS4.
I understand all that.
This year, more than any other year, I spent so much money on just
nobody
on
look at assets right now. If you're looking at assets, close assets. Don't look at it.
Okay, I spent so much money. My
you need to bring it up.
My mom and my dad were like, hey, we want to buy the girls, my nieces, want to buy the girls new mattresses. Do you want to pitch in? So like they showed me the price and it was like, you know, $1,200 for two mattresses. And I was like, fuck. I was like, all right, sure. So I threw in a pretty big chunk in for that. But I was like, and then we ended up doing a video chat on Thanksgiving. And I was like, yeah, but I don't want to just contribute to mattresses. Like that's just not fun. Like the girls are at an age right now, the twins are at an age where well, one of them at least really loves wearing makeup, and it's like I still want to give them money to buy something cool. Like I don't want to be the guy who's just like, oh yeah, I pitched in and you got a bunch of fucking socks and shit. Like nah man, like I want to at least have something cool that you could be like, oh yeah, Theo and Andy bought this for me, or he gave me money and I bought this or whatever. And I gave him money for that, and then it's, you know, my dad wants a new recliner, and my mom's been doing online shopping, so we got her. It's just like, fuck, man. This Christmas more than ever has been exhausting when it comes to just funds.
You got to cut it out. You got to cut it out. When everyone hits 30, that's when you go, we're not going to buy each other anything anymore. We're going to give each other the gift of us. And you've got the kids. You've got the nephews. It's time to just spoil the shit out of them and let Uncle Nick have a bourbon and a box of See's candy and just leave me alone.
That's it. Just leave him alone. Leave Uncle Nick alone. Kevin, can you bring up the links while we've been live? They're doing a Super Nintendo World Direct showing some of the stuff from the new theme park or whatever. The one that's exploding right now is that they have a Mario costume here, as you can see, but it blinks. Amazing photos of him being all fucked up. I gave you three different links. See the other ones too, Andy. Kevin. Because he looks so fucked up as he blinks in the middle of it.
That is the look. That's
the look. To God, the Andy Cortez one there, kind of that's comparing his Mario to that Mario.
Wait, that is
that's amazing, Andy.
Hold on, Andy. Recently, you did another one of these things, and I fucking died at how funny it was. What was it?
The dick one. It was the Cyberpunk dick thing. Is that the one?
No, it wasn't the
that
dick.
Was hilarious.
It was either Snape or Ray Romano.
It yes. Can we please bring that up? I need to find it because I need that joy in my life right now. I mean, is it on your Twitter?
I might be able to bring it up here, but I don't really know if anything's lined up. I don't think things are lined up for this. Hold on.
Line up, bro.
You mean wear it. No, it's your eyes.
Oh God, it's so horrifying. It looks like the Predator's eyes that they're a little too close.
Oh, I found the clip. I found the clip. Hold on.
Feel free to go to the kind of fun, or I'm sorry, reddit.com/r/kindoffunny and talk on the thread about Andy not caring about audio listeners.
I already commented on that thread, by the way.
Oh dude, he's proving it right now.
I know, but the clip got me.
Yeah, hold on. Let me switch.
Oh, Andy, no. Oh my God, that's so
scary. Stop.
Wow.
I don't like this game.
Oh my God, Andy.
Those don't work. Sorry, I don't have the cameras lined up for them. Expelliarmus. Doesn't it work, Kevin?
Andy, what's crazy?
I mean, it's there.
What's crazy about it is that it works so well that if you just talk normally, if you don't try to do the accent, it actually like is spot on. Just talk a little bit. What's your favorite donut?
What, make your eyes bigger. I mean,
standard chocolate. Standard chocolate is definitely one, but it's the small eyes that really sell it, Kevin.
The small eyes sell it, Kevin. You're crazy.
Yeah, selling it is not what it's doing.
The fact that the mouth is just a little too small and tight. God, is
you
just
know
so
somebody's bad. Watching this content with their kids, and like you're scarring their kids for life.
They're not. Oh my god, wait, Andy, what? They're alive.
All right, ready?
Yeah, play with audio, please.
Is this like a Muzak version of Lord of the Rings?
No.
God, he looks so scary.
I was setting it up. I was in the middle of setting this up.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Oh my god, no. Oh no. 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 Not anymore. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So
I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this with my lips. It looks like I'm Christian Bale in Dark Knight, but I'm not wearing a Batman suit. I'm wearing a Ray Romano suit.
You have to understand that this city needs us. A city without any deal.
Andy, you're still good.
No,
you're
so good. I'm trying to get a.
Yeah, you haven't gotten better with it, huh?
Kirby Deep.
It's okay, yeah, it's Kermit.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to get a coffee dip.
Did you understand?
I look like Ralph Macchio, actually.
Ralph Macchio.
He looks like Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
Like now, the way he looks now. Nah, no, you know, ain't no problem, ma. Nah, we're just doing karate, ma. Ma, we're doing karate. It's no problem, ma. Expelliarmus.
Andy, I thank you for bringing this joy into my life. I think I've watched that 50 times. Like, it makes me gut laugh every single fucking time when you pop into Ray Romano.
I try to do the Ray Romano, man, but
no, Andy. The fact of the matter is, it's just way funnier that you're failing at it. It's, even if you were just spot on Ray Romano, it wouldn't be as funny because you're just finding it is the process that I want to watch every single time.
It's the adventure of getting there, right? It is the process. And the one thing that I really wanted to sort of accentuate with that comedic beat of like, clearly I'm not getting it, back to Christian Bale. That was the whole point with that one.
That's great. That was perfect. Your bail is spot on, by the way. That is pretty spot on.
Thank you very much.
What is that? A nutcracker? What do you got?
No, it's this is a
crimper.
This is an ongoing thing from today.
Dog clipper?
It's a nail clipper. Yeah,
yeah.
It's something I started the last PS I Love You for next week with explaining to Blessing. So as you know, I've had Portillo 15 years. As you know, cutting his nails is a nightmare. And there was one very, very bloody attempt in roughly 2010, 2011, where I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to just take them to the vet every time and have them do it because they'll do nail trim there. And with COVID, they don't do that anymore. So I've had to go back to doing it myself, even though I could go to like a groomer or whatever.
How often is this a thing?
You should do it way more than I do it. Fertile's nails. I have like it's a whole thing where I hope Moose is in a better place. I hope Cecil's in a better place where if you do it consistently as a puppy, they'll get used to it and they won't be a thing and their quick won't grow out, which is it's hard to explain, I guess, if you don't understand. But
it's
like
a little
if you were to hold the dogs, if you hold the dogs like if you had like probably Cecil, if you hold his nails like up, they're white, skin? I assume. No, it's inside like a blood, like inside. If you go deep enough down, there's going to be blood in the nail where the nail connects to the thing or whatever.
Mm.
It's called the quick and they'll grow out with the nail. So Portillo's nails have always been grown out. So his quicks are super long. So I'd have to be super diligent about cutting it back and doing it professionally if I actually wanted them to go backwards. But I just do it to the bare minimum so he's comfortable.
Yeah,
long story. Sorry.
Diagram two is the problem you're having right here. Maybe
give him peg legs.
It's a long quick.
Let me go in here.
Yeah.
That's just the most Stu God thing I've ever heard Nick say. It's a long quick.
Yeah, you got like a two going on there. Yeah, exactly. So I've been slacking on doing it even at home now or whatever, and so I needed to, but he hates it so much and fights me so much, and now he's so old and I don't want to hurt him, that I've been struggling on what's the best way to do it, and it finally dawned on me today that he can sleep through anything. And so I'll just do it while he sleeps. Or when he's just been fed and he's even more lethargic than usual. So this morning after he ate, he sat with me and I got his front paw done. And then I tweeted about it earlier. During Games Daily, he fell asleep in his dog bed over here. And so I was like, here's another great chance after Games Daily. So I went over there and got the first one, no problem. Went to get the second one, and he did like, he's a dog. So like, you know, he's Portela, so he barks and like, you know, chases stuff in his dreams sometimes. And so the second one I went to do, he pulled his leg, but he pulled it as if he was in the dream, where it wasn't a full motion movement, but it was like you could see he's incorporating into his dream. But the third one is when he woke up and realized that his nightmare was reality and looked at me like the most betrayed I've ever seen this dog in 15 years look at me. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? First you got me while I was sleeping on you after I ate. Now you're coming for me in my bed, you son of a bitch.
This was the only place I used to be safe, and now dreams aren't safe anymore.
So I'm just like, this is a great idea. I'm going to hold it with me and then just, you know, go for it when I can. He's passed out pretty well right now, but I'm not going to try to maneuver him on my lap at the same time as I do the show and everything else, but playing with these things. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been your final Kind of Funny podcast for 2020, episode 100. Of course, the show isn't quite over yet. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the post show we're about to do. But before we go, thank you for everything. Obviously, 2020 has been an awful year for everyone, but you've been so supportive of the Kind of Funny podcast, so supportive of Kind of Funny and Kind of Funny Games. We can't thank you enough for everything you've done for us, and we hope we do stuff for you as well and make some of the days easier, more fun, whatever it is we do. However, get, you know, invited into your lives, I want you to know how much that means to us, of course. Remember, January 4th is Kind of Funny Day, our 6th anniversary. We'll be streaming on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames starting at 10 a.m. Monday, January 4th. Talk to you all about what we're doing in 2021 and all the redacted stuff we're up to. Right, Tim?
Am I going to cancel this show?
God damn it. Please don't fucking cancel this show.
Tim, you can't make this joke go on. You can't do it. I'm trying to shut it down, Tim.
I stopped it 2 months ago. Tim yeah, likes that power. We're all working hard,
but he's just refuses to kill this joke.
He enjoys it.
Won't do it.
Lean into it. Go ahead. Be the Grim Reaper. Go for everything you want. You know what I mean? You got the villain haircut now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do, but until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Bye.